Hey everyone, this is Sarah, and welcome to my show. Woohoo! I have to admit that although I'm, you know, very focused in my business communications on LinkedIn, once in a while I do kind of meet someone that is, you know, kind of like I just kind of watch for entertainment purposes. So I have to admit that Anthony Ruffalo, wait, oh my God, did I just butcher your name?
Sure did.
What's your name?
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. Okay, it sounds like Buffalo.
Like Mark Ruffalo, the actor.
I don't do anything cool. Okay. I don't have time. I have 4 kids under 6 years old. I don't do anything cool. Okay. So Anthony Ruffalo is my guest today. And aside from just being one of the funnest people to watch on LinkedIn, I really like Anthony's ability to get his point across and do it in a way that doesn't come across like he's trying too hard. He's very easy to kind of take in, so to speak. And I would encourage all of you to follow him. I'm going to put his link below. But the point of this show is for advisors to understand that creating new opportunities and leads and growing your business on LinkedIn, which is, by the way, what Anthony has done very successfully. So this is a proven success story. Like, I'm not just making this stuff up. You're going to hear it from someone who's done it. That doing this on LinkedIn and being successful doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be so formulaic. You can use your original thoughts and you can just be yourself. You don't have to be so like marketing-esque in order to have it count as marketing. And that's what I love about Anthony. So we're going to describe a little bit more what I mean by that. Anthony, welcome to the show!
Well, I appreciate you having me, Sarah. I like what you do. I see what you do. I love your perspective and your point of view. And you are one bad fiduciary gangster.
I am. I'm a fiduciary gangster.
Well, you know what? That's really important. That's really important because as a CFP, you know, we're supposed to act in a fiduciary capacity at all times. And one of the things that really bothers me just across the industry is, you know, when you don't see that. And, you know, whether or not you are technically a fiduciary, you should always, just as a business building rule, always 100% operate in the best interest of your client. And you could just be a licensed insurance person. And if there is a jump ball and there's anything that's in question, always, always, always lean to the side of being way above board and putting your client's interest of first. So go ahead. Where do you want to get started?
So tell me in a nutshell, what your experience has been using LinkedIn to gain more visibility. Like, so what have you done? How have you done it? What have the results been?
You know, Sarah, it's just kind of like, it's a perfect storm. I made the commitment. I had a lot of things going on, new kids at home, just personal stuff. And I got
side. Love them kids. Whoop, whoop. Okay.
Yeah. They're great, but they're also just in my house is a circus. So I have a very, I remember when I used to have free time and I don't even know what that
you
is.
You don't have it now. No, you don't.
But right. I remember I made a commitment. So I opened up, at the end of last year, last November, I opened up my own office I've had my own practice for 11 years, 15 years in the business, but I opened up my own actual retail storefront last November. And that was the catalyst that I said, all right, game on. Like I'm taking on some extra overhead. I'm notoriously kind of cheap when it comes to wanting to keep my expenses low because I do practice what I preach. I got a super clean balance sheet.
Important. No, yes, it is. Right.
Well, I think that's unbelievably important because there are just so many people that are broke trying to give financial advice and or leveraged. You know, I know lots of advisors from the old company that I work for that were credit criminals. You know, and they were just out there living for the next sale. So, and even starting out as I was struggling, you know, there was, you know, a time in my career when I was struggling, I didn't really have much. And I kind of, you know, I struggled with feeling like a fraud like, hey, I'm advising people with $1 million and I really don't have much in savings and I myself am not on 100% sound financial footing. And then eventually this, you know, this, I just kept on actually executing and doing the things that I preach. And now, you know, fast forward, you know, now it's, life is great. I mean, I have zero to worry about.
Yeah.
And I share with, if I have a new client that comes in the door and they say, well, what are you worth? I show them my credit report and my balance sheet. I just call it radical transparency. Hey, if I'm going to ask you about everything that you have, you're entitled to ask me, and I'm an open book. And I think, and that really resonates. It resonates with new clients because they know that I practice. They practice what I preach. So, I mean,
okay. So you make this commitment. You want to be on social media.
Yeah. So last November, I opened up the office, and I'm like, hey, I really want to make a push to grow, get out of my comfort zone. I want to be in social. So. I went to, I think a lot of people know Gary Vaynerchuk. I went to a workshop seminar that they did, VaynerMedia did, in January. It was called Agent 2021. And they didn't have anything specifically for financial advisors, but I just wanted to learn about social media, the different platforms, because I was at zero, literally ground zero. I really didn't know much except for my personal Facebook account, which is just used to argue about political positions with your friends.
And you're just this typical, so many advisors are in that position with that outlook. Okay.
Yeah. That.
So this is January 2019, Anthony?
Yeah, this year.
Okay.
So I went to Vayner's little thing, and then I just started reading books and doing research. And
what did you learn from Gary V? Because, you know, Gary is great, but I kind of watch Gary V like do all the stuff he does. Like, he has a camera person follow him around the whole day and tape everything that he does. And I'm like, this is also awesome social media. But
yeah.
I feel for like myself, this is so unattainable because I don't have a million dollar ad budget, you know? So when Gary V says stuff, like, he'll be like, just get on social media and do this and do that. And I'm like, but you kind of started, like, he started in the wine business and he had this show called Wine Library, and he started in a different time where there wasn't much competition for different keywords. And then he got in on a certain, like, what wine should I buy or something. Like, he bought a certain keyword and he got in and he got very good authority with that keyword early. But he, right. I feel, you know, so sometimes I kind of feel like, I don't know if I can follow this advice, but so what did you learn from Gary Vee? Like, what was the one thing you learned from him?
So the beauty, I'm not selling wine and I'm not selling t-shirts. I'm a very, very low volume. If you're in the financial services, you should be, if you're building an advisory practice, you should be a low volume business. If you bring in $1 million client and you're charging 1%, that's $10,000 a year in revenue. I only take on a handful of new people a year. I'm not looking to take on 100. If I had more than 5 people call me in a month, I couldn't realistically do the right type of planning and onboard them properly anyway.
Right.
I take on a handful of new clients a year. I'm done for this year. I'm not taking any new clients for the rest of this year. So what did I learn is it's just Nike. Just do it. Just start creating content. And here's
Nike theme. Just do it.
Here is the most important piece. And this is really resonated. Something that I heard Gary say on stage. He said, the reality TV business is a $1 billion industry. Why?
Right.
Why is that?
Because people are curious about what other people's lives are really like.
Exactly. So one of the things, so that really resonated with me, because one of the things that there's no information out there. I wanted to give people a window into my practice, my thought process, my philosophy, how I manage money. Now I can only go so far with it because of compliance purposes.
Yeah. But cause that's like a blessing in disguise. All you advisors out there, like, if you're getting compliance on your back all the time, you're not doing well with your marketing. You're not good marketers. Like, get away from that. People don't want to hear about that. Stop it, advisor.
So I set up a YouTube channel. I'm killing it. I think I have 26 followers. And I think one of my videos has about 100 views. So my YouTube channel is absolutely crushing it. I started doing, if you go back and you look at my first video from February, I sound like a blithering idiot. It's atrocious.
But you did it because you needed to take that step to get to where you are today.
When you're all of a sudden, what happens is you do something and you're like, wow, that looks like crap. How do I make that better? Or, hey, I saw this guy do a subtitle. How do I put a subtitle on there? And then you go look. And then, hey, how do you add a video on there, like a video clip on there and cut back and forth? And how do I do a split screen? And then how do I do a picture in picture? And then slowly but sure, and you'll see the evolution of my videos because I do every single one of them myself. And then, and I've just played around with, my whole thing was I wanted to control the process so I could have my authentic voice come through and let people see who I am, how I manage my practice, how I manage money, what I do for people, my philosophy I still have a long way to go. I am far from, and it's evolved from, like, I started, I think one of my first or second or third ones was videos was an explanation of how the Federal Reserve works with controlling interest rates to, I think, one of my last videos that got, you know, 8,000 or 9,000 views on LinkedIn was me making fun of wholesalers. So
that was funny. I know. See, that's the whole thing. It's that you don't want your YouTube videos to be like a commercial. Want it to be new, and you want it to be something that people, I mean, heavens forbid, would actually laugh at.
Yes.
And when you do that, you will be so surprised because the whole world wants to see it. This is what people desperately want to see.
So here's an interesting thing if you were putting out your position on, hey, I think this XYZ product is great because, you will get attacked on LinkedIn with all the reasons why it's not good. Or you're like, that's okay, but I don't like it because of this. If you're just putting content out and you're just having fun, then people,
the whole world is gonna, right.
It's fun and it's relatable, and the whole point is just
getting attention.
Yeah, is getting attention and engagement, and creating engagement. And I've pivoted a little bit. My first thought was, hey, let me create for client acquisition. And now I don't create with client acquisition in mind. I've shifted towards kind of trying to help the industry with lifting up some of the younger advisors and providing actionable insight, actionable ideas on how to build a practice. And that's really starting to pick up. I get tons of messages, emails, DMs from younger advisors like, hey, you know, I work at XYZ company and my manager has never said that. I love that idea. And I have a hunch my manager didn't tell me that because we're not allowed to do that here. But if I could do that, man, I think I could really crush it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just one of the things that bothers me is in this industry, it's like glorified multi-level marketing to a degree. Like there's a lot of managers out there that hoard ideas because they can't do them they can't execute at their, I'm giving you a specific example. You know, I put an idea out, which I've seen work phenomenally, is this is exactly what I would do if I was 27 starting all over again. I would become an enrolled agent with the IRS. Mm-hmm. And I would learn to prepare taxes, nothing complicated, but I would learn how to prepare taxes, and I would advertise my tax prep ability, but then also pair that with use that as your loss leader and pair that with the ability to do comprehensive financial planning. If you do 100 tax returns in the busy season, now you have 100 people to go back to and call, and you get all of the documentation. You get all of the brokerage account statements. You get all the 1099s. You know everything that that person owns, and there's no rush. You call them back with an idea. Hey, I know when, you know, it was really busy during tax time, and I really didn't have a chance to dive into everything. But hey, I noticed that you're at XYZ firm, and you're paying 2.5% in advisory fees. Well, hey, let me show you a similar portfolio, and I can do it for 1%. Well, hello. All day long, twice on Saturday. Now, certain companies will not allow you to do that, to become an enrolled agent, because they see it as, you know, a compliance concern or a conflict of interest. And there are lots of other places that you just disclose it as an outside business activity, and boom, sky's the limit. You take it and you run. So that's, and I've got several, like, you know, kind of things like that where I feel like this industry, because of agendas, there's just good idea. It could be a lot easier for these, for younger talent coming up. And that's what I'm kind of shifting to. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy just lifting other people up. And I get a lot of, hey, what's your angle? Are you recruiting? Are you trying to get people? No, I'm not. I literally don't have an agenda. I don't know why.
Isn't that the best? Isn't that like when you don't even want the attention, that you don't even, you're like not even trying, and then someone offers something to you because you inspired them. Right.
But I mean, I'm doing goodwill. And listen, I know some way, shape or form, like good is going to come back to me. I don't care. I'm not measuring it. I'm not making an ask. I'm putting out good stuff. Or at least I'm trying to put out good actionable stuff that I wished somebody would have put out for me.
Good idea.
It was coming up. Yeah. And then whatever that leads to, it may lead to something, it may lead to nothing, but I've been blessed. I've got a really good practice.
But hold on, but tell me what the impact has been, because so Anthony's been making these videos for younger financial advisors, but they've been really like a lot of personality, a lot of character, very funny, very just authentic. And so, but you have not been recently, and you've been getting great results with them recently, a lot of views on LinkedIn. Now, you have not been doing, hey, here's the mega backdoor Roth conversion. You know, you've been doing like you've been doing, you know, just very kind of new, interesting, innovative. Okay. So what has been the impact on your business?
I've got a lot of goodwill. I get a lot of good feedback from my, from existing clients. I think existing clients I've got. So as a direct result from a business perspective, I was also at the beginning of the year, coincidentally, I was in a program. LPL Financial is my broker dealer. And I was in a program called Focus on Growth, which was a company workshop that they had. And they, they teach you to measure your business metrics and build and grow and blah, blah. The important point is that corporate is measuring from the beginning of the year, they've been measuring my what's called net new asset growth. So NNA, which is inflows minus outflows. And then you do not take into consideration market performance. Mm. So when you look at my book of business, it's just how much in new assets did you bring in minus outflows from distributions or maybe an account that left or somebody died and transferred something out. What is that number? Well, I have one of the highest net new asset growth rates. I don't know about the company, but certainly in my new business development guy told me I was the number two growth rate in his region. And that's a couple of hundred guys in the Southeast. And that he said, the only reason why you're not number one is because one of the guys he covers had a business owner retire and get like a 25 or 30, sold his business for 25.
Yeah, right. Million.
So he's like,
you're an outlier.
Grinding it out right now.
Yeah.
And where is it coming from? So where is it coming from? It's existing clients seeing what I'm seeing the content, and me just being top of mind, not necessarily like, oh, I got to call Anthony about an IRA conversion, or I got to call Anthony about what. There's just a psychological thing. Even the short little 15 second, you know, TikTok mockery videos. Well, if it gets 30, 50, 60, 70 likes, a client goes scrolling by and that's validation. Like, oh, okay, he's doing something in the industry. I really don't know what he's making fun of, but everybody else seems to be laughing. And that's like validation of what I'm doing. So subconsciously, that just continues to cement relationships, which my number one fear, I've always been, it's kind of, I kind of have like a personality that's geared towards cynicism, comedy, and just, if I could say, I've always been a Weisenheimer, to say it politely. And I just have that natural, I don't know, just innate cynicism for the world. So I've taken that and I use that to just kind of poke fun, and it's working.
But you see, your videos don't come across as cynical or negative. They come across as kind of like with a wink and a smile.
Yeah, I guess that's... yeah. That's just, yeah, like sarcasm.
Yeah, but you're doing it in a way that you're kind of laughing with the audience. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen these videos, and that's important because it kind of has this effect of, let's not take this whole thing too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that is a relief or a breath of fresh air, and that's so important.
Yeah, I don't want it like, I did a TikTok, it is a 20-second thing, kind of poking fun at wholesalers. And listen, I know some amazing wholesale, great guys, great women. They're out there grinding it out. It's a tough job. But, you know, hey, I'm going to call, when I want to call a spade when I see one. Like, if you come into my office and your fund has a three-year track record in a bull market and it's still trailing its index and that's what you want to pitch me, you got to come with something better than that, buddy. Like, come right. on. Like, you can't walk into my office.
But it's also, yeah. But see, and that in itself is a risk. That's the thing that, you know, a lot of people don't want to take any risk. They don't want to take any risk on social media or on their website or anything. And the whole thing is, it's that old adage of, the risk is where the profit lies.
There is no risk. There is zero risk. My 36-year-old, one of my best friends had a stroke. Mm-hmm. There's no risk. Like,
nothing's going to happen. Like, that's right. Because the worst, very worst, like, I mean, have I had blog posts that fell flat on their face? Yes. Have I had Twitter rants against me where like 20, 30 people at a time are disagreeing with me and like knocking me down? Absolutely. But let me tell you what happens about that. It's easy come, easy go. And that's a good thing and a bad thing in social media. But within a week, I mean, unless you're Ken Fisher, okay? Unless you really like racism and sexism, right? Like,
yeah.
Don't do that. Okay, like that is very hard to bounce back from and people will remember. But if it's just like you maybe made a video that wasn't the best or like you looked kind of stupid or whatever, I mean, unless you're doing this consistently, like 20 times in a row, people are really not going to remember. And so it's just a matter of being intelligent about it and looking back and assessing results and saying, okay, nobody liked this, nobody shared it, nobody commented. I need to change. I don't want to do the same thing next time. And then then that takes the risk away from it.
It's consistency is the number one thing. I post every day. I do a static post every single day, which is just the whole point of my post is something that will help somebody understand the financial planning or the, you know, the financial planning or a tax piece or investment, something somebody can scroll by. They don't have to click on a link to go to an article because they're not doing that anymore. And it's short, concise, and they're just supposed to, they're supposed to scroll by and go, huh, okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting. It's consumable within 10 seconds. It's not
right.
And they just go, huh, yeah, that guy's smart. And then they keep, and then they scroll on.
Or no, or they say, oh, I want to follow him. Oh, that was funny. I want to follow him.
Well, no, so I go for, there's the smart stuff, which is supposed, like just a tax fact or just something helpful that they go, huh, because I want them, I want people to subconsciously just start thinking like, oh, that was smart. Oh, that was smart. Yeah, no, that's a good place to go for financial, that's a good financial resource in case something major ever comes up, I can call that guy. Paired with, they see my other content helping new advisors, lifting the whole profession up, paired with, oh, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. That's like a normal person that I can work, I can work with.
Right. Okay. So I want to wrap up the podcast now. What are the three things you want advisors listening to this to take with them?
So with respect to social media, your cadence and consistency on what you're putting out, control the process and be 100% authentic. Don't let somebody else handle the process for you, a marketing firm or whatever. Take control of the process yourself. And then three, plan out what you're going to do. Plan out your, you know, what's going to be your shtick. You know, are you going to be funny? Are you going to be smart? Are you going to be, take a counter position to create engagement? What are you going to do that is not, if you want to know what not to do, just go on LinkedIn, scroll for about a minute through any financial, basically 99% of the financial people that are out there. And it's the same, you can just copy and paste. It's the same stuff over and over and over and over again. It's kind of like how websites were like 5-6 years ago. You go to
10. The financial advisor websites are still the same way today in this regard, Anthony.
They're garbage.
No, they're just, I mean, they're the same. Very little differentiation.
Yeah, I mean, from a marketing perspective. Sometimes I, you know, it's the New Yorker in me. I'm just a little bit.
What do you mean, New Yorker? You're not from New York, are you?
What?
Are you from New York?
Yeah, I'm from New York. I'm not there now.
You're not there now, okay.
Yeah, I'm in the Charlotte metro area. Hmm. Born and raised in New York.
Right.
25 years.
Where in New York, by the way?
Long Island, New York, a little town on the South Shore in Suffolk County called Oakdale. And then I also lived in Port Jefferson for several years and then moved to Charlotte in 2005, which is where I started my financial services career.
Right.
And that was tough.
What do you mean?
Being a New Yorker with my accent in the South, having zero network, not knowing anybody, and starting a financial services practice from scratch, I just feel like, you know, the odds were kind of stacked against me at that point. It's not like, you know, I had a natural network of parents, friends, family to call on. I had nothing.
Right. I should have played the Rocky theme, Anthony, for that part.
You can edit it in.
Yeah, I'd have to buy the license to it. It's too much work. All right. All right. Thanks, buddy. Listen, thanks for being on the show. So financial advisors, I just want to say the point of probably by doing like the opposite of what you think you should be doing on social media, you'll be successful, be yourself. And, you know, you can see a really great example of someone who's just killing it on social media Anthony Ruffalo. I'm going to put his link in the show notes. Thanks, everybody. Please subscribe, rate, and review my show. Woohoo!
Thanks,
that's it. Yep, you bet.